God is never disappointed. God is never disappointed when you sin. Because guess what? God knows you're going to sin. Grace that receives and grace that gives. And in this series, I've been trying to get across to you the point that you can't give grace to other people if you have not received grace yourself. And a lot of us live in the church and we understand that our sins have been forgiven, but for some reason, we can't forgive ourselves. As a matter of fact, when I was talking to my mom about this series, she was a preacher's wife for many, many years, and the first thing she says, when you talk about grace and forgiving others, you need to make sure that you mention how to forgive yourself. And I said, Mom, I've already got it handled. And Mom, I know you're going to listen to this today, but I want you to know I appreciate you so much reminding me of the fact that we need to forgive ourselves. Peter, one of the greatest apostles of all time, had a horrible experience where he basically told Jesus, I will die with you. I have been following you all this way, and even if everybody else denies you, I will not do it. And then, as was read to you a few moments ago, three times he denied Jesus. And after he denied him the third time, the rooster crowed. I remember when I was preaching at another church and I was doing this lesson, that particular morning that I got out of the car, I heard a rooster crow. And I thought to myself, I wonder what Peter felt like every time he heard a rooster crow. I know it had to have been tough on him, but it wasn't just Peter. Paul held the coats of those that stoned Stephen. So it wasn't just one man in the Bible that had a horrible sin in their life that they had to overcome and they had to learn to forgive themselves. But today we're going to focus on just Peter. And I want you to look at your sermon notes. If you'll open them up, inside it says, forgiveness is complete when, number one, we have experienced the forgiveness of God. When we have experienced the forgiveness of God. And that is something that I think all of us in here have experienced in some way, some form. And when we are baptized into Christ, and we know that all of our sins are forgiven, there is an experience that we cannot really put into words. Because for the first time, as one lady said to me after I baptized her, I feel so clean. And I thought, you haven't bathed in days, have you? No, I knew exactly what she was talking about. After you're baptized, you feel clean because all of your sins have been washed away. You also have to have, we can forgive others who have wronged us. Forgiveness is complete when we have experienced God's forgiveness and when we can forgive others who have wronged us. And that's where a lot of people struggle with, and we've been talking about that some, that a lot of times we struggle with the fact whether or not we can forgive those who have wronged us. And the third way is when we can forgive ourselves. It's truly living in forgiveness when we have experienced God's forgiveness, we are able to forgive others, and we are able to forgive ourselves. But a lot of Christians I know, because of things that have happened in their life, they struggle with forgiving themselves. I want you to look down underneath that. Forgiveness from God is grace. That's grace. We receive grace and we get God's forgiveness. Forgiveness from others is charity. That's what charity comes from. The word charity comes from is when people are gracious towards us. And number three, forgiving ourselves is wisdom. Forgiving ourselves is wisdom. I have been doing this for a number of years, and people come to me from time to time, and they'll want to talk about some past sin in their life that they have committed. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of the things that they say all the time, is they start off by saying, I know God can forgive anything. And then they will stop and they'll say, but. And I want to look at them and say, that is such a little but. Because God can forgive anything, and you need to stop right there. And the problem is they can't forgive themselves. I forgot to put this in your sermon notes, but if you'll write down Psalms 103 verses 8 or 10 through 12, it says, He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. You see, there is a major difference from being forgiven and feeling forgiving. There is a major difference between being forgiven. Sound booth, let's click the next slide. Come on, keep up. There we go. For being forgiven, which is God's part, and feeling forgiven, which is my part. And I have to do my part in order for God to do His part, in order that we live in grace. We have to not only know that we have been forgiven, we have to feel it. John 8:36 tells us, if the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. You see, we have received the grace, we are saved, but a lot of us go through our maturing process in Christ feeling guilty about our past. I have known people who have had great potential, have had opportunities to share the gospel with other people, but because of their past, they are reluctant to do so because they don't feel like they have been forgiven. Now, why can't we accept God's forgiveness? Well, number one, we have a performance-based mentality. We have a performance-based mentality. And when I was growing up, and for most of us in here, you know, we got this thing, if you did good, you got good. And if you did bad, you got bad. I know it, you probably can guess this, but growing up, I got spanked almost every single day. And I know it's hard for you to believe because I'm such a great guy. But I literally, and I'm not just making this up, I literally got spanked every single day. And there's a couple of you in here nodding your head, and I don't know whether you're nodding because you got spanked too or because you think I deserved it. But I grew up with that mentality. When I did good, I got good, and when I did bad, I got bad. As a matter of fact, I tell my mom and dad, well, my dad has passed, but I used to tell them all the time, y'all never taught us what to do, what was right and what was wrong. If we did something and we were wrong, we got punished, and that's how we learned. And so we need to change that a little bit. And not that they're going to raise any more kids, but we needed to change that. But here's the thing. When you grow up with that kind of mentality and you come before a holy God, you never feel worthy. But look at what I got in your note. God accepts us based on what Jesus has done, not based on what we can do. Number two, we are disappointed with ourselves. We are disappointed with ourselves. It says that when Peter heard the rooster crow, that he wept. He was so disappointed in himself. He had decided that he was going to live one way, and then he did not live that way. And for so many of us, when we become Christians, we sin and we disappoint ourselves. Let me tell you this and write this under your notes. God is never disappointed. God is never disappointed when you sin. Because guess what? God knows you're going to sin. You see, Jesus had told Peter already, you're going to deny me three times, even though Peter kept saying, no, I'm not, even if I have to die with you. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He was not disappointed when Peter denied him. So we need to understand that disappointment comes by unfulfilled expectations. And Jesus already knew what was happening. Number three, we adjust and surrender to a guilt-ridden life. We just adjust and surrender to a guilt-ridden life. And I have seen this in so many people that I have counseled over the years, people who live in chaos. And when you try to show them you're living in chaos, you've got this mentality where you're living in chaos all the time, and they don't want to change because it's what they're used to. I was talking to an Uber driver in Canada. We were in Vancouver, Canada. In Vancouver, there is an area in town where the homeless people are abundant. I mean, it's just a huge area. If Nancy hadn't have been with me and kept me from doing it, I would have just gone out, gotten out, and I would have talked to those people because I wanted to meet some of them. There were people literally sleeping on the sidewalk in the middle of the day. There were people fighting. There were people laughing. There were people drinking. It was a different kind of lifestyle for me. But I was talking to the Uber driver about it, and he says, yeah, they all congregate here. And I says, is there any kind of social programs y'all do or anything? He says, well, we do all the time. We will take some of these people, and we will get them cleaned up. We will give them a place to live. We will give them everything that they need to succeed. And he says, within 6 months, those people will come back to this area and live. And then he said these words, because it's what they know. And some of you in here have been living in guilt, and you have just adjusted your life to that guilt, and you have surrendered to it. My dad used to tell me all the time, he said, Neil, if you hit your head against the wall long enough, it will start to feel normal. And for many of us as Christians, we have lost any joy in our life because we've been hitting that same wall of guilt and shame forever. Number four, we have the expectation of repeating a sin. We have the expectation of repeating a sin. Now, I want you to just, for just a moment, you're going to raise your hand to this, but how many of you in here, before you die, will think you will sin one more time? Just raise your hand. Okay, those of you who did not raise your hand, it's because you're lying right now and you just sinned. Okay, here's what I want you to see. When Christ died on the cross for us, it was for all sin. The ones that we have committed in the past, the ones that we are committing today, and the ones that we are going to commit in the future. We have an expectation of sin. That's not what we want to do. I am positive if Peter could have gone back and done it over, he would have done it over. But because we live in a broken world and we are broken people in need of a Savior, we're going to have sin in our life. Until Christ completes us on the day of judgment, we are going to have sin in our life. And we need to understand that. I don't want to sin. I don't think anybody in this room really wants to sin. But our nature is a nature of sinful people. And because of that nature, we're going to have to battle it. But the beauty of God's grace is that any time I fall short of the glory of God, His forgiveness is there. And number five, other people remind us of our sins. Other people remind us of our sins. And that may very well be that it's good, well-behaved church people that remind us of our sins. It may be like the husband that was talking to the wife, and the wife was bringing up the things he had done wrong in the past, and he looked at her and said, "Honey, I thought you have forgiven and forgotten these things." And she says to him, "I have. I just don't want you to." You see, there's people in our life, and sometimes they don't have to say anything. It's the look they give you. It's the way that they don't associate with you. They want to remind you of your sins. Well, here's some consequences of not forgiving ourselves. We beat ourselves up. We beat ourselves up. I hate when I see Christians coming into worship and they are beating themselves up and they cannot find joy. They are unhappy Christians. As a matter of fact, I have seen this in some churches where I have gone and I have spoken, and the people there are such sourpusses, I would rather be doing a funeral than preaching for them. Because they feel like that there's no joy in this life because they cannot forgive themselves. Number two, we live in uncertainty. We live in uncertainty. There is actually a town in Texas called Uncertain, Texas. I looked it up, population of 85 in 2024. And some of you are living in uncertain, but it's not Uncertain, Texas. I looked it up and I said, how did Uncertain, Texas get its name? And it came up, it is uncertain how Uncertain got its name. Now that's living in an uncertain place, right? And when we can't forgive ourselves, we're living in uncertainty. Number three, we have a sense of unworthiness. We have a sense of unworthiness. When you ask Christians, when I ask you, are you saved? Please don't ever tell me, I hope so. Because if you don't know you're saved, you have not read your Bible. You are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, not because of who you are or what you have done. You are saved because Christ paid the price. But when you go around and you don't feel forgiven, you feel like you're unworthy, so you are always doubting your salvation. The one thing you should never do. Number four, we practice excessive behavior. Some people drink too much. Some people do drugs. Some people do too much in the way of pornography or sex. Some people buy things to make themselves feel better. Some people do all kinds of excessive behavior, whether it's a hobby or something that we generally would call good. They do this excessive behavior because they cannot forgive themselves. Number five, we live with fake humility. We live with fake humility. And fake humility is saying, well, I deserve where I am today because of what I have done. That's fake humility. I deserve what I am getting in my life because of what I have done. Real humility is, I deserve what I have because of what God has done. That's real humility. Is I deserve what I've got today because of what God has done, not because of what I have done. And then number six, we practice self-deprivation. We practice self-deprivation. We can't enjoy this life. We can't enjoy the blessings that God has given us because we just don't deserve it. I have seen so many Christians that go through life and they feel like they cannot have fun on any scale whatsoever, because if they're having fun at all, It's got to be something wrong with it. Well, how can we forgive ourselves? Number one, we've got to first recognize the problem. You've got to recognize that the problem is that I have not forgiven myself. Because a lot of people realize they've been forgiven by Jesus, but they still live in this guilt and shame, and it's because they don't recognize they have a problem because they can't forgive themselves. Number two, they just need to repent. You just need to repent. Say, God, I haven't been able to forgive myself. I am repenting now, and I'm not going to do that anymore. I have seen Christians who tell me all the time that they go back and ask for God's forgiveness again just because they think, well, it didn't take the first time. They go pray over and over because of some sin they had done in the past. I had a young woman that came to me, and she says, I had an abortion several years ago, and I know God forgives me, but I'm still living with it. And it's because she continues to go to God, remembers her sin, and then repents over it again. When you repent over a sin, it is forgiven. And you can just let it go. You don't have to live in unforgiveness. Number three, reaffirm your trust in God's promises. The problem with most of us is we can't hold two thoughts in our brains at the same time. I don't know anybody that can, and if you can, don't come around me. I don't need any more schizophrenia. But here's the thing. You can focus on your past sin and your guilt and shame, or you can focus on God's promises. You can focus on one or the other, but not both. Fourthly, you need to choose freedom. You need to choose freedom. Because if Christ has set you free, you are free indeed. And the reason why I want you to hear that is because it is your choice to live free. I can't make you live free. I can't preach you into living free. It is a choice that you have to make. And for some of us, we have lived in guilt and shame and the idea that God cannot forgive us for so long that we have become so used to it that we're going to have to battle it for the rest of our life. I have watched Christians who just torment themselves because they cannot forgive themselves. Well, what happens when we forgive ourselves? Number one, the past becomes irrelevant. The past becomes irrelevant. I know I've told this story before, but when I went back home, a friend of mine and I were hanging out, and he says, Neil, let's go over here and we'll see such and such again. And I'm like, okay. And we went over there, and there was a guy I hadn't seen in years, and I used to do things with him that I'm not very proud of. And we had some good times together, and I got to tell you what happened is when he saw me, he was a big guy. When he saw me, he comes running across the road because he saw it was me, and he was come running across the road and tried to stop, and he had on cowboy boots, and they were slick, and he slid right into me. And so there we were, hugging. Unintentionally. And there was a crowd around us because it was a party going on there. And he said, Neil, how you been? I hadn't seen you forever. What's been going on? Where do you live now? Blah, blah, blah. And we talked for a few minutes and I told him I was in Tampa. He says, what do you do in Tampa? And I said, I'm a preacher. And he says, no, Neil, tell me what you really do. I said, no, I'm a preacher. And he, to this day, I think is confused. But you know what? My past is irrelevant. Not because of what I have done, but because of what Jesus has done. Number two, we feel whole. We feel whole. When we live in God's grace and His forgiveness, we feel whole. And that is something that so many in the world are trying to find today. They want that wholeness. They want to know that they are complete. That small part of your heart that only God can fill is taken care of. Number three, we start to proclaim what God has done in our lives. We start to proclaim what God has done in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. And I want you to underline this, verse 18, all this is from God. It's not because of you, it's not because of me or what I can do, it is what God has done. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. And underline this next part of the sentence, not counting men's sins against them. Not counting men's sins against them. And when God has said to you and said to me that your sins don't count against you anymore, we can live in freedom. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. I knew that this sermon was going to be a long one. First of all, I came back where I had to preach 45 to 50 minutes at a time. And then Tuesday night, when I had finished my sermon and I'd said amen, and I try to time it so that we're there just in an hour. It started at 7, sung a song, I got up and preached, and right at 8 o'clock I was quitting. And I stopped, said the prayer, and I waited for people to get up. And they didn't get up. They stayed seated. And I just looked at them like, what do we do now? And they started raising their hands and asking questions. And I got to talk for another 20 minutes. Now we're going to sing an invitation song. And if you want to stay seated after the invitation song and ask questions, just come on down. Well, you're going to have to go back there because that's where I'll be. But here's my point. I put these last three in here. There's no blanks to fill out. There's just notes for you to see because this verse tells us, when I come to Christ, everything changes. When I come to Christ, everything changes. If you're here today and you've never been buried with Christ in baptism, you've never put on Christ and had that wholeness, that forgiveness that you get, we have things ready. We will baptize you. But it's not just for those. This invitation song is not just for those who are here that need to be baptized. This invitation song is for all Christians as well. And it may very well be that you've got something in your life you've been struggling with, some kind of sin that you're dealing with. And while you're dealing with that sin, Jesus is saying, come accept my forgiveness. And if we need to pray for you publicly, we will do that. Look at what it says here. The old has gone. In verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. Number two, God is the reason for these changes, not me. God is the reason for these changes, not me. And number three, this is the message that we are to give others through our lives. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.